Okay, so hello, welcome to Paper Cuts in our new studio.
It's not really a studio, I think you might be stretching it slightly to be calling this a studio.
Well, it's got some recording equipment in it, and it's got us, so that's the integral part.
Those are the criteria, are they?
I think so. I think that definitely counts. But we're also not being broadcast live, so it's going to change the dynamic of things, is what I'm concerned about.
In a way that we're not quite sure about how yet.
Yeah, so let's just see how this one goes. This probably won't be the intro we use, but if it is, hello.
Hey.
So we haven't been doing this for like a whole month.
I know, I'm really out of the habit of talking.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
No, yeah. I haven't spoken much at all. I pretty much only talk on the
I thought you had more of an accent. This is really...
Well, it depends. I mean,
okay, right.
What kind of accent did you think I had?
I don't know. Welsh.
Welsh?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Let's say that. We'll try and crowbar in a Welsh impression later on.
Okay.
So
that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's reeled them in. Now we've got you on the end of the line. Let's take you through. So it's been
Tom's
like
actually miming
it. Some mime reeling.
Yeah, you can't see that.
That's good. That's what we're thinking about making this into video, but we kind of dismissed it. No, we're going to get some people to stand in for us.
Some better looking people.
Yeah, we're going to mime. If you would like to be
bigger boobs.
If you're better looking, feel free to email in. You can sort of take our place. That would be good.
Send a picture.
Although we have had haircuts, haven't we?
So. Yeah, we just went and had trendy haircuts today.
Yeah. I have very short hair. My hair was ridiculously long.
I don't think you've got a very short hair.
Really, it feels pretty short.
Well, yeah, that's because you're used to having this massive barnet.
That's true. Well, we're going to put photos of our lovely new haircut so you can judge for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I bet you're really thinking about it right now.
Sweet child of mine. That is kicking off early. Okay, right, so what have we got? What have we got for you this week? What's been going on in the world?
We have a new president. That's probably the biggest news, yeah. You may not have noticed this, but we have a president of Europe.
Who is it?
It's Herman Van Rompuy.
Herman Van Rompuy? Not the Herman Van Rompuy.
The Herman Van Rompuy, who is currently Prime Minister of Belgium, I think.
Okay.
Yes, he's got a new job as president of Europe.
How did he get the gig?
Well, it's all shrouded in mystery.
Is it a good gig? I mean, what do you have to do? Do we know what the role is?
I'm not sure entirely. A lot of people are saying that actually his role is more of a kind of figurehead, a bit of a sort of diplomacy role.
Yeah.
More power might reside in the other new role, which is the kind of foreign... I can't remember what the title is, but there's kind of like a foreign secretary of the EU.
Okay, well, to all the other parts of the world that aren't the EU.
Exactly.
Or,
okay. So this post has been filled by Lady Ashton, or... Carol Ashton. Is she called Carol? She has a first... Kathy Ashton.
Okay.
And she's... you probably haven't heard of her, but she had some kind of EU job before, and now she has this very big EU job.
She hasn't had, like, a domestic kind of role?
She's never been elected for anything. She's a Lord. She's a Lord in the House of Lords.
Oh, okay.
But she had an EU job, and now she's...
This sounds like it's really fighting for our democracy. Is this something we can get behind? What's going on?
Well, a lot of people are not responding well, particularly at the Daily Express. 2 days before even the new president was announced, they had a headline saying, this was front page, Britain ruled by a Belgian, you must be joking. And then the next day, Britain's new Belgian leader is a clown. And then they actually announced that this Belgian leader did actually become our new president. And I can't remember what the headline was then, but you know they've had this quite amazing anti-Belgian splash throughout the week. And understandably, Mr. Van Rompuy has been pretty upset about it. Yeah, so the Express have not been... they've been very open about the fact that Mr. Van Rompuy is angry about them. They say he's been enraged by our crusade against the undemocratic stitch-up. One Brussels source told said the Belgian Prime Minister was furious over the Daily Express's front page picture of a political poster portraying him as a clown. He was horrified and really angry when he looked at the newspaper. He said, "How can they depict me in this way? This is a disgrace." Yeah, so that's
our front page revealed how Mr. Van Rompuy had been ridiculed by his own sister.
Yeah, his sister is a member of a rival party, and she had helped put together this picture that made him look like a clown with a red nose and a clown's hat for a previous election campaign, which they put on the front of the Express.
They are setting themselves up for an awkward Christmas. Do they not realise what time of year it is?
What, the Express?
No, the family. The family,
yeah, that's going to be a very awkward Christmas.
Christmas around the Van Rompuy's. You've got to rely on the family not to stitch you up in public. That's an important feature. I mean, me and my sister have had our differences in the past, but I'd like to think that if I ran for a political campaign, she would
try and sabotage
A, support me, and B, not be part of the design process for satirical posters mocking me.
Have you ever run in some kind of election? Did you get involved with student politics or anything like that?
No, I've never done that. It's a bad thing. You know when you get those sort of awards at the end of the year?
Oh, yeah.
So I was in the running for those.
Which ones specifically?
Most
likely to be a sex pest.
No, that was the man bloody intervened and stopped us having all the most likely to be
the
a sex criminal.
Oh, what a bastard.
No, I got most alcohol prone male. which is not
that
a good
on account
thing.
Of being a lightweight or on account of?
I think it was commitment to the cause rather than
You're saying that you drank more than everyone else rather than
more than everyone else. 17, 18. This is not a good thing, obviously. Bad thing.
Alcohol is very bad for you.
It is very bad. I also got friendliest male, so you can read into that what you will as to what type of drunk that I am.
Much better. I mean, a lot of people get kind of aggressive and narky they're drunk. But friendly drunks are kind of better. I say this, but some women don't like the friendly drunks because they can get over-friendly.
Over-friendly.
I'm not saying this applies to you particularly, but yeah.
I think it was voted for by males and women, males and females. So, males and women?
That's fine.
But it seems weird. So it was a cross-party decision, spanning the gender genres. That's good, isn't it?
Gender genres.
The gender genres. So I don't think it was me coming across as a sex pest. And certainly that is a part of my life I've had to work on as I've got older. But I'm now almost 25, so this was a while back. But this wasn't an election for anything. I was not given any sort of responsibility after they announced I was alcohol prone male, so no. Have you? Did you?
No, I've never stood for election.
I can imagine that. Can't.
My brother ran for a college council or whatever, that kind of role, and he had an election campaign. He had posters saying things like "Make the Wong choice for JCSU" and
"Make the Wong choice."
The Wong choice.
That's pretty much make the wrong choice. That's what I'd be immediately thinking.
You mean he should not have associated his surname with the word wrong, despite the obvious sound.
Yeah.
Similar.
I think you gave it would be Wong not to vote for me or something like that. I think work with the I think people are immediately going to be thinking,
well, if only you had been his campaign manager, because his bid was unsuccessful.
Oh, no.
He did not get into the student union.
That's harsh. That is tough. Well, if he wants to move into politics, it's something I'm interested in. Having watched The Thick of It, I think I could do spin doctoring.
Yeah, you want what you mean with the sweary Scotsman role?
Yeah, absolutely. I can swear like the best of them.
Would you like to give us a?
I don't know.
Give us a bit of a sweary Scots accent, kind of.
I can't do it, but a fun game to play at home is to combine a swear word with a very inoffensive word to create an incredibly offensive word. That's just a fun game that you can play at home. Zing.
Good, okay. I hope we've inspired you.
Yeah. So what do we need to... Is anything going? We don't exactly know what this job is, so we can't be too concerned about it. But it's ruining our lives.
I don't know exactly what the job is. The Express are very upset about it, and a lot of people are kind of angry about the behind-closed-doors discussions that led to the appointments, and it seems very undemocratic, but... I don't know how much power these people really are going to have. People are talking about Lady Ashton as if she's now the third most powerful woman in the world behind Angela Merkel and Hillary Clinton.
Well, I need to find out more about this person, I think. She should have brought some education to the table. Should we Google her and see what comes up?
Okay, yes. So look at a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, let's... Should we,
I wonder
we
if she's on Facebook. I know some trivia about her. She apparently likes to put her feet up when she's working.
It sounds like a politician to me. Zing. Okay, she is the first High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy.
That's a long title.
It is not
High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy.
It probably has a better European translation. You know, it's probably just a couple of nice slinky sort of Spanish words. Let's learn some interesting facts from about Cathy Ashton.
What was her education? Oh,
she was voted Minister of the Year by House Magazine and Peer of the Year. Oh, Peer of the Year. It's one of the top
prizes. It's almost up there with Rear of the Year, isn't it?
Exactly. And she got politics.
That's a Channel 4 award, that Peer of the Year one.
Yeah, they do Channel 4 political awards. She also won Politician of the Year at the Stonewall Awards. They're awards that go to people who've had a positive impact on the lives of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people. So a lot of various...
Do you know what she did for these people?
I'm not sure, but she seems to have not annoyed them, which is always good. And this is not that interesting. She lives in St. Albans.
She has a full-size Dalek in her sitting room. Wow.
Oh, my God.
You got to love
Wikipedia. Let me see. I need to check the reference on this one.
That is a reference statement on Wikipedia.
Financial Times article. Wow. So she's got a Dalek in her living room.
That seems like an odd thing to have in your living room.
She is a big X Factor fan.
Is she as big a fan as Gordon Brown is? Do you think they watch it together, or they talk on the phone and text each other? Or
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Gordon Brown, he's just jumping on bandwagons, isn't he? There's no way he actually watches X Factor, surely.
Well, I wouldn't like to judge me. Why not? Maybe he does love. Maybe he does love X Factor.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
There's no doubt that he also loves jumping on bandwagons.
But you can sometimes do the two at the same time.
He's come under criticism this week for there was a picture of him jogging, and it was sent into a news photo agency anonymously, and it got in the press. And cameramen have been kind of waiting for him to come out and go jogging again, but no one's ever seen this man jogging. So some people are saying that it might have been set up, you know, this photo of him jogging.
Right.
But Gordon, he's had a bit of a tough time recently, hasn't he?
Gordon has had a tough time.
A couple of weeks ago, he was being hounded a lot for his bad handwriting and poor eyesight.
yeah, you got to give credit. I mean, well, this is the thing, because basically what happened, he wrote a letter of condolence. As he has done,
a fairly nice thing to do.
Yeah,
it?
As he has done to all of the fallen soldiers. Handwritten letter to all the families of fallen soldiers, and he wrote this letter to this woman.
What was her surname? Janes or James?
God, we're going to get in trouble now. The Sun's going to start a campaign against us.
I think then the Sun kind of have to back down because, they made the same mistake, didn't they? They got this person's name wrong. You just misspelled misspelling, you idiot.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? right. Her name is Jackie Janes.
Jackie
so
Janes.
They wrote a letter to the Janes family, and Gordon Brown misspelled her name. And the Sun went mental over this, saying it was disrespectful and terrible and horrific. And whatnot.
And they recorded her phone call with him. Although apparently she recorded it, and the Sun had nothing to do with it. But we don't know.
So it seems it would. But then their Sun went and spelt her name wrong on their own website. As well.
The Sun as in the newspaper, the Sun, not her Sun.
The Sun newspaper then later went and misspelled her name as well on an online article, thus proving that everyone is human and perhaps, you know, you should
lay off people who are just trying to do a nice thing.
Yes. There are many reasons to dislike Brown and criticise his policies, but I don't think his dodgy eyesight and bad handwriting. His intentions were in the right place there.
Mm. What did you make of his speech, or rather the Queen's speech, which...
I have not heard it, so I can't really comment.
Okay, I didn't hear the speech either, but there were a lot of big plans for cutting national debt, at the same time expanding services, which didn't seem to add up, I think was the main complaint.
Voluntary services are going to expand massively.
Yeah, the general feeling seemed to be that he was making a lot of promises that he couldn't keep, and because he doesn't need to keep them because he's not going to get into power.
Yeah, I hear that they made a plan to halve debt in the next 4 years.
It a legally binding commitment to halve the national debt.
Yeah, which I assume the Conservatives are going to have to fulfil.
Yeah, either fulfil or scrap.
Yes. So they can just scrap away however much they want. They just say, we're not down with this. This is, we don't sign up to this. They could just change everything, can they?
I mean,
we don't have a constitution in that respect, do we? Basically... If you've elected them, then they can...
And you're stuck with them, as we found out when people elected Tony Blair, and then he left, and we were stuck with Gordon Brown.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, so this is exciting things to think about. And I gather Nick Clegg this week has said that he will join the party with the most popular support if there's a hung parliament.
The Observer are getting... well, they've gone big on this possibility of a hung parliament. They've had a new poll which puts Labour only 6% behind the Conservatives, and this supposedly in an election would result in a hung parliament. So everyone's been writing off Labour for a long time now, but perhaps they're not as doomed as everyone thinks.
Yeah, I guess that's it. It's always, you know, when you take your eye off them, that's when they're most potent, aren't they?
Or the Observer are getting carried away with this one poll, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. Probably my favourite news story of the week is the man who was sued over the lack of the Lynx effect. He is an Indian Romeo, is suing Lynx after he failed to land a single girlfriend during 7 years of using their products. He's seeking £26,000 from the parent company Unilever for the depression and psychological damage caused by the lack of any Lynx effect.
But so this guy saw the Lynx adverts in which people spray themselves and are instantly attractive to women, and he thought that he could actually achieve these similar results by going out and buying Lynx.
I think so. I think he's taking the literal message from advertising.
He's suing them for advertising their product.
Well, in a way, but... Well, do you not think this is reasonable? I think this is good. I hope they do intervene and give him the money.
I quite enjoy the Lynx adverts, to be fair. They have a lot. They provide a lot of treats for the eyes.
Treats for the eyes?
Yeah.
God, I think you should look up your treats for the eyes in your own way. I don't need to seek those out during the adverts.
Would you rather watch that or watch an ad for somebody asking, are you paying too much on your car insurance? Or,
well,
you thought about consolidating all your monthly debts into one easy repayment?
I don't really watch adverts anyway because they're too annoying. So it's
surely
not
you're forced to sit through them.
You don't have to. There are other things you can do. This is the advantage of getting mobile phones which have exciting things on them. You can just quickly distract yourself from the advertising scenario, remove yourself, and then you're fine.
I've got to say, I'm kind of siding with Lynx on this one, not just because their adverts are all right, some of them are kind of amusing, but because this guy's an idiot.
That's probably fair enough. Okay, I could agree on that one. In other advertising news this week, baby girl named after car. I was like, well, this just doesn't seem like that much of a news story, but I'll be checking it out. A Dorset couple have named their new baby daughter Kia after she had to be delivered on the back seat of a Kia people carrier.
Oh, God.
Well, they say delivered. Do they mean conceived? It's hard to say. But either way, we can basically assume that this is not actually what happened and was, in fact, a marketing stunt planned from the start, because it's ridiculous. The baby was born at 4:30 in the morning in the back of a car, and the couple...
It's a good thing it wasn't a Rover, is all I can say.
That's true. They decided to ditch the name Tilly that they were going to have to mark the unusual birth.
Tilly?
And Kia, are you not a fan of that?
Tilly's not a good name either, and Kia is...
You're alienating all of our listeners called Tilly, of which...
How many listeners do we have called Tilly?
I don't know.
If you're called Tilly, then write in.
Well, don't. They're going to just stop listening. Why are they wrong right to you after that?
To prove that there are people called Tilly and it's not a ridiculous name.
I know people called Tilly.
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Tilly Nath. That is the only Tilly I know, but I still know one.
You mean you know a person called Tilly?
I know someone called Tilly. Kia, the company, have now offered a new Kia Carens to the parents.
Ah, that's clever.
Yeah,
sponsorship deals for babies' names. More people
this is perfect.
That's a great opportunity. My parents received
Nike
nothing
Wong.
For calling me Sam.
I know.
Yeah, they could have made a fortune.
Nike Wong.
Nike Wong. Nike's the goddess of victory, was she?
Probably.
More well known for
the shoe.
Yeah.
it was the grandparents' currents, so that's why.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, this is ridiculous. So basically, if you're hearing this, I don't want to give Kia any more advertising. So if you were thinking of maybe buying a Kia, please now actively make the choice to buy something that isn't a Kia.
Do you think the same thing happened with Wayne Rooney and Colleen, but they're just a bit dyslexic,
yeah,
and that's why they ended up calling their
That's it. What happened in the Wayne Rooney thing was that's where they were conceived in the car, and they tried to call it Kia, but they read it wrong and spelled it Kai. It's like the Romeo thing all over again. Brooklyn. It's like the Brooklyn thing all over again. Conceived in Brooklyn, conceived in Kai. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Do you think this a similar thing might apply to David Beckham's son, Cruz? If they were on a cruise or something?
I think they were on a cruise, but not a gay cruise, because that just doesn't work biologically.
Right.
There's no way
that... tell me more about that.
I'll teach you about that later.
I knew a girl at school, well, there's a girl in my primary school called Mercedes, and she won the running race, which some people thought was a bit unfair, but, you know.
Yeah, that's a tough gig. I've been doing a lot of swine flu stuff recently, so swine flu is a big...
When you say doing swine flu stuff, what are you talking about?
I've been making podcasts about swine flu.
And where can we listen to those?
If you really want to, Google swine flu podcast, and it will be there. I bet you it's the most well-known one. Obviously people are in England, it's gradually creeping out and nobody really wants to take the vaccine. In America, people are going mental. They want the vaccine. They can't get it. It's being rationed out. And now the latest group demanding it, Santa Clauses, are now demanding swine flu shots. A group representing Father Christmases in the US is calling for Santa Clauses to be given priority for swine flu shots.
There's more than one?
Yeah, there's several. The Amalgamated Order of Real Bearded Santas they held a seminar on the virus at a recent conference in Philadelphia. AORBS is now lobbying for its members to be put on the much sought after swine flu vaccination priority list. There are other groups. The rival Santa America group is also calling for the vaccine as well. Saying much like healthcare workers, but I don't think it's really the same thing. They are not an essential public service. They do have contact with children who are notorious carriers of disease. But still, I think...
You're talking about children like they're vermin.
Well, they you know, kind of...
They kind of are.
They are in a way, aren't they?
Yeah, well...
But we are... People don't want it over here. People are not fussed with vaccines.
No, it's this horrific vaccine phobia we have in this country ever since the MMR. Maybe it even predates that. But, people seem to have...
I think it goes right back to Harold when he got vaccinated for an eye injury.
Harold?
Yeah, King Harold.
King Harold. Oh, yeah. Right. I see.
1066. Yeah. Got a vaccine in the eye for
people really don't
conjunctivitis.
Like being stabbed with needles. That's...
No.
But no, on a more deep level, people seem to have think that vaccines cause disease, and they often overlook the fact that vaccines more demonstrably prevent disease.
Yes, this is true. Would you have the vaccine then if someone offered it to you?
I would definitely like a swine flu vaccine. I'm well up for that shit.
Have you ever had the seasonal flu vaccine?
No, I never have, no. I'm obviously not a massively at-risk group. I'd never dress up as Father Christmas.
That's true. That means you should be fine. But sales of fishermen...
What about the elves? Do the elves get a vaccine?
I don't think so. Elves are a race that are not supported. They don't have their own sort of pressure group.
They need to get better organised with their elf lobby groups.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's important. The Latvian Tourist Board have been having a tough ride. They launched a new £500,000 campaign trying to promote the capital city of Riga to English-speaking travellers. They hope to show off the city's cultural highlights and turn Riga's image around as a destination for wild stag parties.
They want to talk to the Estonian people who have been trying to put off English stag parties because we keep weeing on their monuments.
Well, no, they don't want the stag parties. They're trying to make it... They still want tourists, but they don't want... Yeah, exactly. And they came up with the slogan, easy to go, hard to live, which is not exactly what they were going for. They meant to say easy to go, hard to leave, but spelling mistake got too far, sent to the printers. Wow. And... that's not a message you really want to take home. Yeah, sure.
You should go there, but you're probably going to die.
Yeah, but you've got to take your chances. So there you go. But best of luck. I mean, it's good that they try. Have you ever thought of going to Latvia?
Not seriously, no.
No?
No. Have you?
Well, not until I saw this advertising campaign.
What is that? Is that... That's she looks like a Viking woman or something.
Yeah, there's some sort of Viking thing going on there. I have no idea.
Do Vikings come from Latvia?
I'm sure there were some Latvian Vikings.
Maybe.
Why would there not be?
I mainly associate Vikings with, you know, Norway and Sweden and Denmark and those places.
We all had Vikings. They were British Vikings. Everyone's a Viking.
They wherever they laid their horny hat, that was their home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so over in America, students at Lincoln University might not receive their degrees because they're overweight, basically. The college introduced this requirement that students who enter with a BMI over 30 have to either lose weight or they have to prove that they've lost weight or take a one-semester class called Fitness for Life. and some of them have just not lost the weight, and they're still obese, and they might not be allowed to graduate. That sounds, is that harsh? Do you think that's reasonable?
Yeah, it sounds pretty harsh, I think. Mm. I mean, which side of the fence are you on this one?
I'm currently sitting on the fence. James DeBoy, who's the chairman of Health, Physical Education and Recreation Department, he doesn't see a problem with the requirement. He said, "We test for written oral communication skills, and I don't see that this is any different. We want our students to have a sound mind, but also a sound body." Well, it's not a traditional part of the university, you know, getting a degree, having to be in shape, but maybe it's a good thing that...
They must be allowed to graduate. I mean, I'm guessing maybe they aren't allowed to go walk on the stage and parade around, but they should still be able to get their certificates, I'm assuming.
This requirement was enacted in 2006, so presumably they were made aware of it when they signed up, that they would not be able to graduate unless they got into shape.
Oh, yeah, but who reads all the contracts and stuff before when you first go to university? Do you read any of that stuff?
No, but...
You will have to pay this back. Forget it. Not interested. please, yeah, don't really go, don't drink loads. It's like, forget, I can't read all this bump. Where are the free condoms and the fridge magnets? I'm ignoring the rest of this information.
You went
pack.
To university for fridge magnets.
Didn't go there for that. I didn't go there to fill out forms, though, that's for sure. So, yeah, that's that. I think it's not, that's not good. Obese people should be allowed to graduate. It's fine. It can be genetic.
You bought anything from Amazon recently?
Yes, this thing that we're recording this on now.
Oh, really? Were you happy with the Amazon service?
The service was good. Can't complain about the service. It arrived on time.
Do you look at any customer reviews?
Yeah, always look at the customer reviews. That's a big, big thing I'm over.
I came across recently a product on Amazon called Laptop Steering Wheel Desk, which really sounds like at least three products, whose names have just been stuck together. But I can explain that what this actually is a desk that it's kind of a flat surface that you can attach to your steering wheel and put your laptop on it or whatever kind of... It's like a little table that you attach to your steering wheel so that you can do work in the car, and there are some... Do you think this looks like a good idea?
It looks like the best idea ever.
Hmm. Can you see any possible downsides with this idea?
No. To be honest,
let's take a look at the customer reviews. Let's have a read. The top one says, "Wow, this thing is great. I use it as a mini bar when the friends and I go out to the bars. I can quickly fix multiple shots of tequila for myself and the friends as we drive from one bar to the next. We also discovered that if you place a pillow on top of it and turn the cruise control, you can catch quick naps on the interstate. If you swerve to the left or the right, the rumble strips on the road wake you up in plenty of time before you get into trouble. I can now take longer trips without being tired. Also, I'm now dating a midget, and she fits nicely on the steering wheel desk, which allows us to experiment sexually while driving. This thing is like WD-40 or duct tape. It's a million and one uses."
Wow.
That sounds good. I might get one. Sounds good. It is available for... what was the cost?
How much can I purchase one of these for?
Well, you can get them. You can buy two new from $18.75.
That's brilliant. You never...
But don't just read one review. I mean, you've got to make sure that...
That's true. One review could be from the manufacturers. I mean, that's exactly the type of thing the manufacturer's going to say, isn't it?
So S. Kelly says, "I loved my laptop steering wheel desk so much, I got one for my 90-year-old mother. She's an avid crossword puzzle fan, and now she can work on them while she's driving back and forth from bingo at the senior centre. One cautionary note, be careful of those jerks that stop at yellow lights. My poor mother rear-ended one, and the airbag drove the desk back into her stomach, which ruptured her spleen, well after a short downtime. I'm glad to say she's back on the road and cranking out those NY Times crosswords once again. Thanks, laptop steering wheel desk. You've made my mother's life more complete."
Yeah, if I had a car, I would have... I'm tempted to go and buy a car just so I can have one.
Hmm. Brent A. Nelson says, "This has been a total lifesaver. It allows me to prop my sheet music against the wheel, allowing me to play guitar with both hands while driving." I wonder if Harriet Harman has one.
Probably, yeah. These are important white papers that need reading on the way to a conference.
Exactly.
We know that we found that in the past, that guy who showed that he was carrying some really sensitive documents, which he was reading in the car.
Yeah,
but he wasn't even driving. But you know, this means you can officially drive and read those important meeting notes that you haven't read, and executive summaries because you haven't read the full report.
Definitely.
So this is it.
If you missed the news this week about Harriet Harman, it's that she's going to be charged with driving without due care and attention and driving while using a mobile phone. Apparently, when she was arrested, she was said to have wound down her window and said, "I'm Harriet Harman, you know where you can get hold of me," and drove off without giving her insurance or registration details.
Wow, that is bold. She's like Hugh Hefner. I'm Harriet Harman, you know where you can get hold of me. That's amazing.
She can expect 3 points on her driving licence and a £60 fine. Driving while using a mobile phone. Driving without due care and attention is a bit more serious. She could get a maximum fine of £5,000 and an endorsement of up to 9 license points.
This story is ridiculous. I'm not impressed. I mean, I've talked about my motoring discretions in the past, and I should have worn that seatbelt, but I didn't crash into anyone, and I wasn't on my mobile phone. I've never used a mobile phone whilst driving. Apart from that one time I really had to complete a game of Snake. But I was using some newspapers in the back, like a laptop steering wheel desk, so it was all fine. It was all above board. But yeah, this is really not a good start.
It's not impressive, is it?
No, it's ridiculous. It should be banned. I'm outraged. How can we ban it? Can we do anything about that?
Well,
is she going to go to prison?
Well, I hope so. Well, okay. It doesn't look like she can go to prison.
Throw away the key. We were mentioning the Amazon reviews, and I found something this week that's pretty special. We talked about the Virgin, what was that? The Virgin Flights, where
Virgin Atlantic complaint letter to Richard Branson about the food on the plane.
I've managed to find a new rival for Throne of Great complaint letters. So this is someone who apparently they Blockbuster Video were trying to reclaim some DVDs from this guy. And the first letter said, "Dear Mr. Thorne, I'm writing to advise that movies borrowed on the 14th of October are now 3 weeks overdue and have accumulated fees of $82. Please return the following movies before they gain further fees: Journey to the Centre of the Earth, Logan's Run, Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, and Waterworld. Kind regards, Megan," who is the store manager.
Is that a real film?
Which one?
Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Weirdly enough, it is a real film, yeah.
Wow.
We should watch it because, as a concept, it does sound great. David Thorne replied, "Dear Megan, thank you for your letter regarding overdue fees. As all four movies were outstanding examples of modern cinematic masterpieces, your assumption that I would wish to retain them in my possession is understandable, but incorrect. Please check your records, as these movies were returned, on time, over 3 weeks ago. I remember specifically driving there and having my offspring run them in due to the fact I was wearing shorts and did not want the girl behind the counter to see my white hairy legs. Regards, David." Megan replied with, "Hi, David. Our computer system indicates otherwise. Please recheck and get back to me. Kind regards, Megan." "Dear Megan, yes, they are definitely white and hairy. Viewed from the knees down, the similarity to two large albino caterpillars in parallel formation is frightening. People who knew what the word meant might describe them as polyphorus, although there is something quite sexy about that word, so perhaps they wouldn't. Regards, David." "Hi, David. No, I mean our records indicate that DVDs have not been returned. Please check and return as soon as possible. Dear Megan, with the possible exception of Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, the movies were not worth watching, let alone stealing. In Logan's Run, for example, the computer crashed at the end when presented with conflicting facts and blew up, destroying the entire city. When my computer crashes, I carry on a little bit and have a cigarette while it's rebooting. I don't have to search through rubble for my loved ones. The same program has probably designed the Blockbuster Returned or Not database. Also, whilst one would assume that the title Journey to the Centre of the Earth to be a metaphor, the movie was actually set in the centre of the Earth, which, being a solid core of iron with temperatures exceeding 4,300 degrees Celsius and pressures of 3,900 tonnes per square centimetre, does not seem very likely. Waterworld was actually pretty good, though. My favourite bit was when they were on the water, but the scene where Kevin Costner negotiated for peace, ending the war between fish and mankind, moments before the whale army attacked, was also very good. Regards, David." "David, the DVDs are listed as not returned. If you can't locate the DVDs, you will be charged for the replacement cost. Megan." "Dear Megan, I have checked the pricing at the DVD warehouse, and the cost of replacing your lost movies with new ones is as follows. Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, $7.95. Waterworld, $4.95. Journey to the Centre of the Earth, $9.95. Logan's Run, $12.95. I have no idea why Logan's Run is the most expensive of the four movies, as it was definitely the worst. Have you seen it? I would not pay $12.95 for that. I would use the money to buy a good movie instead. Probably something with Steven Seagal in it. The entire premise comprised of living a utopian and carefree lifestyle with only three drawbacks. Wearing 70s jumpsuits, living in what looks like a giant shopping centre, and not being able to live past 30. This would seem logical, though, as I would not want a bunch of old people hanging around complaining about their arthritis while I'm trying to relax at the shopping centre in my jumpsuit, trying not to think about the computer crashing. I was recently forced to do volunteer work at an aged care hospital. Footage of these people during Tuesday night line dancing during Tuesday night line dancing could be used as an advertisement for the Logan's Run solution. The only good aspect of working there was that I halved their medication, pocketing and selling the remainder, explaining that the computer listed that as their dose and that they were welcome to check, knowing their abject fear of anything produced after the 18th century would prevent them from doing so. I also swapped my Sanyo 14-inch portable TV for their Panasonic widescreen plasma while they were sleeping, explaining that it had always been that way and the senility was simply playing up due to the reduced dosage of drugs. Hi, David. I have not seen those movies, so I don't know what you're talking about. I prefer romantic comedies. If you have the movies, we can't rent them, so we lose money, and the fees are based on what we would have made from renting them. And we also have to purchase movies through our suppliers, not from DVD Warehouse. Dear Megan, I myself am also a huge fan of romantic comedies. Perhaps we could watch one together. I have a new Panasonic widescreen plasma. My favourite romantic comedy is Fatal Instinct, although it did not contain enough robots or explosions, in my opinion, and I was therefore unable to truly identify with the main characters on a personal and emotional level. Recently, I was tricked into watching The Notebook, which was about geese. Lots of geese. It also had something to do with an old lady who conveniently lost her memory, so she could not remember being a whore throughout the entire film. I don't recall a lot of it, as I was too busy being cross about watching it. In a utopian future society, she would have been hunted down and killed at 30. In regards to the late fees, I understand the amount is based on what you lose by not being able to rent the movies out. You probably had people lined up around the block waiting to rent Logan's Run. For $82, though, I could have purchased six copies of it from DVD Warehouse. Or, as I've heard it, he is a bit strapped for cash, had Kevin Costner visit my house in person, and reenact key scenes from Waterworld in my bathroom. Hi, David. Restocking fees are Journey to the Centre of the Earth, $9.30. Logan's Run, $7.90. Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, $6.30. Waterworld, $5.70. Total, $29.20. I've deleted your late fees and noted on the computer that the amount owed is for the replacement movies, not fees. Dear Megan, those prices seem reasonable. I do not want Logan's Run, but we'll pick up the other three when I come in next. Regards, David. What? The $29.20 is the cost of the replacement DVDs for the store, Megan. Dear Megan, that makes more sense. I was wondering what I was going to do with two copies of each movie. Regards, David. What do you mean by two copies? Are you saying you found the four movies? Dear Megan, yes. They were at the top of my fridge the whole time. Unfortunately, I have a blind spot that prevents me from seeing this area of the kitchen, as it is also where I keep my pile of unpaid bills. Last night I slept on the kitchen floor with the fridge door open due to my air conditioner being broken and the temperature outside exceeding that of the centre of the earth. As my fridge emits a high-pitched beep every 30 seconds when left open, the vibrations from this caused the DVDs to wriggle forward over the space before toppling from the edge, and I woke to find them beside me on the pillow. As you have already waived the late fees, I will drop them off tonight and we will call it even. Okay. That is the end of that. That was quite a lengthy, but you can.
My favourite thing about that is that you can see in the email subject line it says DVDs.
Yeah, it all took place over a couple of days. It was about a week, I think, overall, that whole email exchange. But that's beautiful, isn't it?
Have you ever had a parking ticket?
I have had a few, to be honest with you. I've had three, I think, in my time, and they are annoying. There's no getting around it.
But do you think they were fair, kind of?
Well, to be honest with you, no. I'm glad you asked me this. Well, in a way, they are fair. I don't want to go into the details of it, and I was in the wrong, but every time it's happened, I parked somewhere where I should have been able to park for free, but because I didn't do something like getting a free ticket, I came a cropper.
Why would they make you get a ticket for free?
So that you don't stay there all day. You have, like, you know, an hour to do it, so.
Well, you probably got off a quite lightly, to be fair. This man from Headington, near Oxford, this is from the Oxford Mail, by the way, a man called Michael Raphael, he parked his car in London in a side street, and then when he got back to it, it was a red Honda Civic Type R. He found it had been blown up by anti-terrorist police.
Wow.
Where his mistake was abandoning the vehicle yards from Downing Street hours before a Remembrance Sunday parade was due to start. He'd driven to London to catch a boat his friends had hired to celebrate their birthday, but after dropping off his passengers by the River Thames, He pulled into what he thought was a side street and left his car on double yellow lines. But unfortunately, it was Horse Guards Avenue, less than a quarter of a mile from number 10, in the exact area where a parade of ex-servicemen and women were due to march to mark the end of the First World War. It's a
that is not smart.
Bit of a mistake.
Yeah. I met this guy. I was in down in Southampton, and my friend got a parking ticket. And I won't go into the details of it. He managed to get out of it. But one thing this guy suggested was, when you go to London and you park, there's always someone's car that's got a ticket on it somewhere. So what you can do is take their ticket off, put it on your car, and go and park somewhere illegally, and then the traffic warden will leave.
Like, oh, they've already got... That's ingenious.
I know, cunning, huh?
Yeah.
We wouldn't recommend doing that, because obviously that's bad.
It's a little immoral.
But you should, people that think... He obviously isn't from London, this you can tell. You can't... If you think, oh, this is a nice, convenient place to park, it's clearly going to be next to somewhere of significance where you're not allowed to park.
Hmm. Yeah, the police said that they were made aware of a suspicious vehicle and horse guard parade at about 10 p.m. and they carried out two controlled explosions. They'd seen him walking away. Or they saw him running from the car, in fact, on CCTV.
Oh dear.
So it kind of looked suspicious. They blew up his car. He's actually looking into an insurance claim for his car, which was worth £18,000. But a spokesman for Confused.com said. A spokesman for an insurance price comparison website that we don't want to name because they name themselves in the media an awful lot,
yeah.
Quite an irritating way. But they said, hypothetically, if a driver parked in a prohibited space and the vehicle was subsequently damaged by police, an insurance company would be well within their rights to contest the claim.
I imagine, I would be annoyed if it happened to me. And I do have a feeling that's the type of thing that would happen to me. But, because I am often late.
But you don't have a car now.
But I don't have a car. But if they blew up my dad's car, then that would be double annoying. Yeah, that would be.
You would have to face the wrath of your dad at the same time.
Exactly. You know, that's and that could be just way too much. Speaking of car related news, we found out this week that it was a drive by shooting, and immediately I want to say that's not a good idea. The whole concept of drive by shooting is bad, but. One thing you should always remember, if you are going to do a drive-by shooting, and I really wouldn't recommend it, it's going to reiterate that, is if you are going to do a drive-by shooting, make sure you wind your window down first. Which is a mistake that Andrew J. Berwitz of Appleton, Wisconsin did not... that's a mistake that he made.
He tried to shoot through a window that he hadn't wound down.
Yeah, he tried to do a drive-by shooting at the home of his ex-girlfriend's family, and another random house, and police found him because he'd failed to roll down his window and the glass had shattered when he made the first shot. He was charged with 4 counts of first-degree reckless endangerment, which sounds
reckless
like...
Reckless endangerment?
First-degree reckless endangerment at that.
Even so, it sounds like an understatement when he was trying to shoot somebody. That sounds like more than reckless endangerment.
Yeah, no, he got some other ones as well, but endangering safety by reckless use of a firearm. In America, you can run around doing that. He can claim he was... hunting or just exercising his rights as an American.
Surely trying to shoot someone is more than reckless use of a firearm. It's bloody delicious.
Well, I don't know. Because he's obviously got the mental capacity to wind his window down at such a time. I mean, it's a stressful time, I guess. I mean, if I was sat there waiting to fire out of the window, probably wouldn't be thinking clearly.
Mm, yeah, but what the hell did he think was going to happen?
I don't know. But basically, 2 bullets had struck the exterior of the house. 3 had entered the living room, but no one was injured.
How many shots did he fire off?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say how many shots he fired, but enough. So yeah, but in better news for other people, Facebook status update has cleared a teen from criminal charges. Rodney Bradford had his 17-year-old life saved, in a way. He changed his status plea, demanding the immediate consumption of a basic food group, and subsequently managed to give himself an alibi for a crime that had been committed.
What?
What happened was, the guy was arrested on October the 18th as a suspect in 2 crimes. He declared himself innocent, and his defence lawyer found the key to his freedom. He had updated his Facebook status saying, "Where's my pancakes?" This seemingly inconsequential Facebook status update proved crucial when the Californian company confirmed that someone wrote it from his father's Harlem apartment computer. using his username and password at the time of the alleged crime. So
surely anyone could have written that.
Well, this is the thing that's come up. Apparently not. The judge is throwing the case out, so he's okay. But yeah, I mean, it's. But if I do commit a crime, I'll be emailing you my password to phone you up and telling you to go and update my status. Tom is not committing any crime whatsoever.
Yeah, you can definitely rely on me to do that.
You should do. I would do it for you.
Depends who you're I've planning murdered. On murdering.
Okay, well, it's not going to be planned. I'm just putting that out there. So if I do get arrested, it will definitely be manslaughter and not murder. That's a fact. Okay, should we have a bit of Wong's Bongs?
Definitely.
Okay. Wong's Bongs. You ready?
Yeah. Bong.
Stowaway cat survives 2-week voyage to Britain from Egypt.
Bong.
Mussolini's brain for sale on eBay.
Bong.
Scientists hail Hobby J as cleverest rat.
Bong.
Florida man to smoke 115,000th joint, setting Guinness World Record.
Bong.
Man gets 2 years in jail for pointing a laser at a plane.
Bong.
British Columbia police seek serial groin kicker after series of attacks.
Bong.
Men only buy underpants for 17 years of their lives.
Bong.
Man attends his own funeral, relative shocked.
Bong.
Kenyan man rips leopard's tongue out.
Bong.
Drunk ninja impales himself on fence post.
Bong.
Sea creature's amazing eyes could inspire new DVD players.
Bong.
Man dressed as breathalyzer arrested for drink driving.
Bong.
Zoo replaces zebras with painted donkeys.
Bong.
McDonald's advertises for staff to work at Guantanamo Bay.
Bong.
Local dad spoke only Klingon to Charla for 3 years.
Bong.
Hungry dog starts chip pan fire.
Bong.
13-year-old girl wins ploughing contest.
Bong.
Sting claims to have confronted ghost in his haunted house.
Bong.
Agency's 316,000 bongs listed as Christmas ornaments.
316,000... Oh, bong.
What? Yeah.
Bongs. I'm confused now.
Bongs is in the smoking... drug smoking implements.
Okay.
Bong. Worried pimp called off rabbi's 3-day drug-fueled orgy.
Bong.
That's Wong's Bongs for this week.
Wow, that's a lot of quite startling news there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
How did the zoo actually tried to replace zebras with painted donkeys?
Yeah, I've got a bit more about this. This is a zoo in Gaza. It's got around an animal import restriction by dyeing stripes onto donkeys to make zebras. The owner of Marah Land Zoo in Gaza City said he had used masking tape and black hair dye applied with a paintbrush to disguise the white females. He said it would have cost him £25,000 to bring in real zebras via smuggling tunnels. The first time he used paint, but it did not look good. The children don't know, so they call them zebras and they're happy to see something new. All the real animals at the zoo have been smuggled under the border at great expense. So there you go.
I went to a place in Vietnam where they had horses that were painted to look like zebras, but I don't think they were trying to deceive anyone.
That was just kind of artistic.
It was supposed to be a traditional thing, you know, these stripy horses.
Right.
I saw some other quite shocking zoo news this week. That was about a zoo in the Czech Republic where two lions broke into the cage of a rare white tigress and killed her.
Well, that's not good.
That's not good. I don't know where that story's going.
Yeah, neither do I. White tigers, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have a weird recessive gene.
I found another lion story this week as well. Thieves steal circus van and lion. Thieves in Germany stole a circus van without realising there was a lion asleep in the back. They abandoned the vehicle after crashing into a road sign in the western city of Wuppertal. Reports
Wuppertal?
The Wuppertal. This is a good city. Police later had the van towed away to a depot, unaware the 5-year-old lion called Caesar was inside. Caesar appeared unhurt when a lion tamer arrived to reclaim him after the circus reported the theft. So there you go. I mean, that is something you're not expecting to see.
No. Yeah.
You're going to have to abandon the vehicle at that stage.
The lion was asleep the whole time.
Yeah. I imagine he woke up at some point. I imagine they worked out that he was a lion and ran away, probably.
Right. They didn't kind of open the back, see what they've got inside and...
get eaten.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I guess, yeah. I don't know. We haven't got the criminal side of the story. I think they got away.
Mm-hmm.
They got away with it. Got some update news now about that woman who did like 800 driving tests.
Is that in Korea?
The Korean woman has finally passed her driving theory test at the 950th attempt. So let's have a little round. Well done. Well done to the Korean win. That is top work. Cha Sasoon, 68, had repeatedly been trying to pass the multiple choice exam since April the
13th, 2005. So a lot of takes for a multiple choice exam.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have to get all of the questions right in that? Or
the pass mark is 60%, and she only just beat that this time, so...
Wow.
I'm kind of glad that's I don't drive at the moment, or live in Korea, yeah. So these are...
You've got to admire her persistence, though. You know, a lot of people would give up before...
Well, she says she needs to do it for her job, so...
Before the 900...
She's a greengrocer, so she needs a car.
Wow. Well, that's good news, I guess. Well, for her.
Yeah, not for anyone else who has a car or an enjoyment of life.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any more stories for us?
Yeah, I had this is a great Christmas present idea, I think. Barbie, you can now buy Barbie in a burqa. Barbie has had a makeover for her. Well, actually, I don't think you can buy these. They're not widely available. But for Barbie,
really, they're not widely available.
For Barbie's 50th anniversary, they've got this new range of Barbies, and many of them show her in a burqa. These pictures are quite amazing. Well, I guess we'll probably put them on Facebook if we remember.
I don't think you really need to buy the Barbie. You can just give your kid a turnip and give them the burqa. Is that offensive?
I don't think that's offensive. No, it's fairly true. If you put a, I mean, some of these burqas are more covering than others. One of them you can actually see her face, but these other ones, you know, there could be anything under those burqas.
I've got a story. It's sort of keeping it seasonal. I mean, we had the guy who got arrested for dressing as a breathalyzer when he got pulled over for drink driving.
Dressing as a breathalyzer.
Yeah, his Halloween costume was a breathalyzer.
Oh, right.
And he got arrested. I don't remember that one. That was a Wong's Bong. I mean, you probably were laughing at one of the other ones.
Well, yeah, I've got to focus quite hard on doing those bongs.
You've got one job and one job only.
Yeah.
But also, there was a virtual bonfire night after a Guy Fawkes night party in Devon. They claimed that the health and safety officials had forced them to watch a film of a bonfire rather than actually have a bonfire. The event was dubbed a non-fire night at Ilfracombe Rugby Club. And 2,000 revelers held sparklers and gathered around a big screen showing footage of the bonfire.
So how are they stopped from doing this? I mean, it's not illegal to have a bonfire.
No, but you have to fill in loads of paperwork and get permits and stuff, and they didn't want to do it. Yeah, you can't
so
have a bonfire.
Why did they even bother having a film of a bonfire? What is the point?
Just because that's what people gather around, you know, and look at.
But people will surely gather around. If they're going to watch a film, it may as well be a film.
Well, there's 2,000. They aren't going to have 2,000 people watching one film.
Why not?
Because it's supposed to be communal and they're meant to talk. You can talk whilst watching a bonfire, but you can't whilst watching a film. What I like, my favourite part of this story was local resident Amy Collins, 26, complained, "The whole point of Guy Fawkes Night is to watch and smell a real bonfire. I doubt Guy Fawkes would have been able to blow up Parliament with virtual gunpowder." I mean... Is that a valid argument? It seems like probably it isn't.
It doesn't seem especially valid, no.
No.
She's welcome to her opinion.
That's true.
I've just seen the next headline.
Favourite Ananava story of the week. Kids think Hitler was a football coach. 1 in 20 British school children thinks Adolf Hitler was a German football manager. And I think there is no doubting that if he was a football manager, he would have got results, I think. If only he had turned his skills to football management rather than attempted world domination and genocide, maybe who knows?
Who knows what would have happened?
I mean, back in the 30s...
I don't know.
Back in the 30s, they didn't have foreign managers, but if England could have got Hitler to come and be our football manager rather than become a, you know, dictator...
Yeah.
I think they would have been good for England, good for our World Cup chances... Good for several countries across Europe.
Yes. Yep.
But unfortunately, he wasn't a football manager. 1 in 6 youngsters also thinks Auschwitz is a theme park.
These kids kind of answered these questions,
It's
a multiple choice. Okay.
Multiple choice, I think. I assume.
It's not too surprising that that a few kids would guess that he's a football manager.
Well,
if they don't know who he is.
You're ruining my story.
You're
pissing on my virtual bonfire.
Children. That's not. And what age are these children? Age 9 to 11.
Yeah, 9 to 11. See, they should know better.
Yeah, they ought to know.
1 in 12 thought the Blitz was a European cleanup operation following World War II. That's good. The fucking big Blitz clean. I like that. This is one of my other favourite Adam Naver stories of the week. The headline should reel you in. Man cleared of kicking buckets. A Polish man has finally cleared his name after an 18-month legal battle in which he was accused of kicking his neighbour's buckets. Legal sources blasted the decision to prosecute Waldemar Wilk, 55, of Mikowice, for damaging a plastic bucket worth less than £3.
What was that town called?
The town was called Mikowice.
Mikowice?
Yep. Neighbour Alicja Tomankiewicz had claimed that Mr. Wilk had kicked the bucket so hard it landed on a bush outside their block of flats. So this is pretty tough talking. I mean, you shouldn't run around kicking your neighbour's bucket, should you?
No. Where was the bucket to begin with? It was in the neighbour's garden?
Yeah, there's video as evidence, apparently, as well, taken on a mobile phone. I'm not sure where the bucket started or where it ended up, but either way, he shouldn't have been kicking his bucket. Then, news stories. Woman seeks divorce over nickname. A Saudi woman is seeking a divorce after discovering her husband had nicknamed her Guantanamo on his mobile phone. The woman made the discovery while examining the list of contacts in her husband's phone when he left it at home on the day. So there you go. So one day he left his phone at home. She found out she was called Guantanamo.
What could have possibly prompted that nickname?
I imagine he finds it...
It was probably the waterboarding, wasn't it?
I think he probably... This is the McDonald's cooking. I think he finds it a stressful experience to be around her, I suppose.
Stressful?
Yeah. Mm. Teen banned from buying wine gums. The shopkeeper thought that it had wine in them, and so he had to give them back. He was 15. And this is at a shop called Wiz... No, what's it called? It's a 99p stores is what it's called. And at the end they said, oh, the store's opened recently, so there seems to be an unfortunate glitch, which...
A glitch in the brain of the staff.
A stupidity error. To show that we have a good sense of humour, we would like to offer Jazz a 9-item voucher to spend in-store, on condition that at least one of these products are wine gums. Does that show a good sense of humour?
I'm not sure it does particularly. This doesn't seem very funny.
How about this one? Wildlife officer loses alligator in school. Yes, it's good, isn't it? A US wildlife officer decided to bring a 5-foot alligator into his daughter's school for a show-and-tell when it escaped. Dave Brady had recently captured the reptile and thought he'd bring it into his daughter's class with its mouth taped shut in Florida. It proved a hit with the class. They were impressed. But things started to go wrong when Mr. Brady loaded the alligator back into his truck after the school visit. Most people don't think they can jump, but they have an amazing ability to jump, he said. They can not only jump, they can run.
They don't think alligators can jump.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say people don't think that they can jump.
Oh, no.
But they can when there's an alligator on the floor.
That's good. The alligator successfully jumped out of the truck and ran towards a local pond, where it has so far managed to avoid capture. You don't get ponds like that in England.
No.
There's no way an alligator...
How big was the... 5 foot?
Yeah.
Wow. Why taking an alligator into a school?
Show and tell. This is a big thing in America, and that's... You've got to trump it, haven't you?
He's a kid. No, he's a wildlife.
He's a wildlife officer. It was his daughter's class.
Oh, okay.
Another story I've got here. Policeman arrests pothead. A policeman arrested a man in a convenience store after he noticed a bag of marijuana stuck to his forehead. The guy was apparently feeling around inside his baseball cap, looking anxiously. And the policeman went up to him and said, "Is that what you're looking for?" It was like stuck to his forehead. Not smart. Not a smart guy. Swede was tattoo drunk. This is a good headline from Anna Nova. A Swedish drinker is a picture of misery after waking up to find a tattoo of a penis on his leg. Joel Stephenson, 27, from northern Sweden, had agreed to let a tattoo artist ink in any design he liked after an all-night vodka session.
That's just not you can predict what's going to happen then.
Yes. I thought I have something...
There's nothing like an instruction like that to bring out the 13-year-old boy in anyone, really.
Absolutely. I thought I'd have something discreet and dignified, but I got a 6-inch penis on my leg, right next to my own one. Now Joel is desperate to have the design removed, or at least reduced.
If you're going to have a penis drawn on your leg...
Well, no, let me explain.
Surely it ought to be a big one.
It's a bit larger than mine, so the truth is it's going to be a bit of a letdown to any women who get to see it, he confessed.
I see that. It makes perfect sense now. Do we have a picture of the tattoo?
No, unfortunately not. No pictures. You can imagine one at home.
Or draw one on your leg.
Yeah, draw one on your leg and see. Maybe you'd like it. Lollipop Man quits over high-five complaints. An Edinburgh lollipop man has quit over claims he was told not to high-five children or give them sweets. He dished out chocolates on his birthday and at Christmas and said pupils would queue up to give him high-fives. But apparently people complained about this, saying it's you know, a bit weird, and he's been fired. I don't know
sounds kind of harsh.
Got a good story about John Bercow, the speaker.
Oh, yeah.
His wife has lost her job over an Oxford degree that wasn't. And it's basically, she got accused of having lied on her CV. Also that she used multiple CVs with different facts about her past on each one, which is kind of fair enough. But if you're applying for different jobs,
you'll put different stuff on your CV.
At this point, she had referred to an upper second in theology at Oxford on her CV, but she didn't finish her degree. She then claimed this was a first year exam result and was not incented to conceal the fact that she left Keble College after 2 years. You can't write that. I bet she alluded to the fact that she had a upper... I mean, I got a first for one of my essays in the first year. But I don't write that. I got a first. People should just assume it was for a degree or for an essay I'd written.
Yeah, make your own assumptions. Kind of make that clear.
I think, yeah, it's a bit jeebus, isn't it? So that's a bit bad.
Do you think this reflects on John Bercow at all? Is this
well, I don't know. He's in a bit of trouble as well, isn't he? Because of his own...
He seems to always be in a bit of
trouble. I think the thing is, though, it's not like she's a doctor who, you know, she's got to finish her medical training.
Yeah.
You would want them to finish that. Theology, you know, really...
No one's going to take it that seriously.
You're not going to get struck off
the register. What does she do? What is her job?
I don't know. She doesn't have it anymore. She got fired.
She got fired for having the fake thing.
Yeah. We should briefly mention Nutsack, shouldn't we?
We should probably mention Nutsack.
Don't fire people that are doing their jobs.
Yep, we can go along with it.
Sorry, okay, that's fine. And yeah, I think that's probably us done for this week.
Mm.
This guy, Best Buy exec denied first class seat because he looked like a scrub. This guy was banned from flying on first class on United Airlines because he's wearing a tracksuit. And I'm just saying, I'm a recent convert to wearing tracksuit trousers. They've really enhanced my life.
Tom goes on about this quite a lot.
These trousers are amazing. They're so comfortable. Everyone should wear them. It's the only reason people don't.
Well, not that pair, specifically.
Well, not this particular pair. Well, you know, why not? Come, if you want to try them, go for it. Email us in. So, yeah, well, let's leave it there, because it's probably too much. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah. One more thing we want to say is we're probably going to put together a clip show of best bits of Paper Cuts throughout the year. We're approaching a year after our first episode, and so if you've got any good bits that you can remember, then let us know, and we'll make sure they make the cut. So yeah, but getting in touch with us for anything, if you've got, you know, a funny story or whatever, we always like to hear from you. You can find our Facebook group, that's called Paper Cuts, or Paper Cuts Radio on Twitter, and there's an email address, isn't there?
Yeah, but don't bother with that. Yeah. Just go on the Facebook group and hand that down.
Mm. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.